Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley haven't won the lotto either. That's why they're here as well this week. So for So You Think You're an Adult.
And if he can't win the lotto,
I'm not
allowed
to play the lotto. I'm not allowed to play.
You're not even allowed to play.
No, how cruel. Okay, well then, do you know, is it true that some surgeon in the south side of Dublin has won it twice?
What?
No, but I mean...
Henry McCain said he'd heard that. Somebody texted in to say it's absolutely true. But, you know, very reliable source there.
Wow. Yeah.
This is how misinformation starts now.
Yeah.
That's more like a rumour, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, either people say, you know, they come public and they say, I won, or they prefer to remain anonymous.
Because you'd imagine some guy is probably loaded anyway, living in... Would he advertise it?
No, he definitely would not.
Yeah.
Implicitly advertising it, which you just have to drive down Barbara's Road and you see them all implicitly advertising there.
I don't know where you think I live, but it's not there. I don't think we've any surgeons on our roads.
Okay.
Tree surgeons, maybe.
That's a good living and that's hard to get one.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a woman for about 3 months now. We haven't had the chat yet about being exclusive, but I feel like it's headed that way and we see each other quite regularly, normally twice a week. We'd probably see each other more, only there is a 2-hour drive between us. I've met her friends, she's met mine, and I just feel like we've grown really close. She was showing me something on her phone the other day when a message popped up from a guy. Her reaction was quite concerning as she immediately whipped it away from me and seemed really flustered. Maybe I was naive to think I was the only guy she was dating, but do you think I should bring up in conversation or leave it and see how the relation ends up playing out?
Jeannie Mac.
I know.
This is something I find really hard to get my head around. This modern thing.
Oh, yeah.
Test driving a couple of relationships at the same time before you decide which horse you're going to back.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I think this is making life.
One at a time.
It's called choice.
And this is
Barbara,
like,
it's called choice.
It's a recipe for disease. That's what it is.
And it's kind of got. Yeah, exactly. It should be the hygiene thing as well as everything else. No, I just think it's a really bad idea.
Come on.
You can still have choice, but one at a time. You make your choice. You know, this kind of, like, as I say, riding two horses at the same time, it just makes life
literally
more complicated than is necessary. Having said that, that's no help to this person who's in this situation. As we have often said here, we are big fans of direct, unambiguous communication.
Yes.
So I would suggest to our letter writer that if he, with the situation that he has described to us, I think you kind of have a right to know. How long did he say? 3 months. I think you have a kind of right to know if your girlfriend, well, in inverted commas, because, you know, you're not exclusive, so therefore she's not your girlfriend. I think you have a right.
So what is he? What do you call it?
I don't know.
How does he introduce her?
Well, I'm only going for what my kids used to tell me before they stopped telling me anything.
I know what the gays call it.
This is my part time.
What?
I know what the gays call it.
What do the gays call it?
I can't say it on air.
Okay, right.
Oh, okay. But I think you have a right to know if somebody's, if the person you're being intimate has also been intimate with somebody else.
Yeah.
I actually think you have a kind of right to know that.
Yeah.
So is that like an
F body?
Yeah, an F body
territory, right? Okay.
I don't want to come across like I'm, what's her name, on the Sex and the City and sort of like, you know, it was then I realised that he was actually seeing somebody else.
But, That's very good.
Well, you know, but I think...
Carrie.
I think at the end of the day, I think if you're going to go into a relationship, I think most young people know that the odds are that they're dating. Doesn't necessarily mean that people are sleeping with each other, but they are exercising their
Not sleeping with each other?
The people mightn't be. These young people...
But he's sleeping with her, presumably.
Yeah, presumably.
3 months, yeah.
You never know. People are entitled...
What?
Well, he's not driving 2 hours for nothing.
But yeah, okay. So, but
for a firm
person,
handshake,
yeah.
The other person might not necessarily be involved in a sexual relationship, but if they're not exclusive yet, they're still in the dating thing. That they're kind of, you know, options are open. Is all I'm really saying.
But I'm saying that's a really bad idea. Why don't you close down your options while you're in, you know, seeing somebody, whatever you want to call it, dating, not dating, boyfriend, whatever. Then you stay with that and you do that. And then if that's not working out, well, then you move on. But this, like, as I say, trying to ride two horses at the same time is only fierce complicated. And also,
But there's always going to be like a transitional phase between the decision to, I mean, this decision to kind of go, I'm saying hello to people and smiling and accepting phone numbers and whatever else.
And saying, oh, I'll try that sweet there. And then while it's still in your mouth saying, I'm going to try this other one there. And then you can't taste that one anymore because...
I'm actually going to get sick.
Let's not go with that metaphor too much.
Because you don't have to put them all in your mouth, Barbara.
The poor fella, like he thinks... Let's reset that conversation. Yeah, he thinks he's the only one in his mouth at the moment. But that puts him in a situation of thinking, we're going out 3 months and we should have the talk. But he knows she's seeing other people, which puts him at a disadvantage. So he doesn't want to bring it up because she's going to go, well, sorry, you're still, like, I'm not convinced. I'm not sold.
But in fairness, he might be jumping the gun. In other words, he might be...
3 months, not too...
No, 3 months, it's not that. But his evidence for suspecting that she's seen somebody else is this thing when she was showing him something on the phone,
right,
and a message came in and she immediately took it away.
Yeah,
it may not have been from somebody she's also seeing. It may have been a message about him.
But that's,
you know,
the whole
there
point.
Might have been other reasons why she
there's
didn't
a psychology going on
it.
There that like it's interesting.
He said a message popped up from a guy.
Yeah, but it could have been a guy in work or a friend, and she might have said something about him and he responded and that's why she didn't want him to see it.
Okay.
Do you know?
Yeah,
there could be other reasons.
Maybe.
It's interesting that his response about is it the time for the talk has been caused by this notion that there could be this other person exercising options on his not quite girlfriend person yet. Mm. And that's kind of...
3 months later. Jeez, so in my day, you'd be nearly engaged by then. Don't look at me like, as if look where that got you.
Well, yeah. I don't mean look where that got you, but I...
You do, that's exactly what you did.
Oh, yeah, in the room with me. You'd be booking churches now. Yeah. 3 months.
But the reality of it is that, look, this guy is now going, oh, should I be having the chat with her or not to say I want... And so I'm just saying, if the other text message had never crossed her phone while it was in his hand, would he be in the same headspace at all, is what I'm wondering.
He already said he'd been 3 months, we haven't had the chat yet. I feel like it's headed that way. So I think he was obviously thinking about this already.
So he's now saying that because I have created a scenario in my head where this text message that I didn't read from a guy who I don't know, this totally turns her into some kind of like harlot. Like,
no, it doesn't. But that,
no, he's not saying
she's,
that.
But if she's not a harlot, then why? He should surely have the conversation.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying he just needs to act like often, though, the idea that your options are being removed from the table cause people to act. So maybe the whole thing is a good thing. That he, regardless of whether it's true or not, the conversation can still happen. I'd also say that in any progression of any intimate relationship, vulnerability and taking a chance are very much part of it. And you know, that's what you have to do. You have to kind of...
Okay, can I
bit.
Ask another question? And I'm asking it to you because you're the youngest person here in the studio, although you're not that much younger and you're not that young. But how long...
Damn me with fine phrase. Okay, so Declan, get your ear horn ready for this.
Really, wow.
No, but how long did the young people nowadays see somebody else without being exclusive? Do you know what I mean? Like, when is the cut-off point that you go, you know what?
I don't know, but I do know that some people don't ever want to be exclusive.
Oh, but that's different.
Yes, but it is different. But it is, so therefore, it's kind of, how long is
it? I'm talking in general. I know there's some people who never want to be exclusive.
Yeah, but apart from that, then, the whole point is the conversation, it's about the development of a relationship happens when people become more and more vulnerable with each other.
He doesn't know.
And they say,
I don't know, this could be a thing of the past, but there was this like third date means, you know, something might happen kind of thing. But so is there not some...
Was that sex?
Yes.
Okay.
Or, you know, bit of a feel anyway.
Right.
But that after a certain amount of time dating that you're, you know, entitled to have the chat about should we exclusively date.
Yeah. Well, how long is it though? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Yeah.
None
of us do.
No.
But I think
the
one of the pertinent
people in the studio have the clue.
in this though, the pertinent point of information is that they're not kind of with each other all the time. There's a distance between them.
Yeah.
That doesn't give you the right to go.
There's no rights.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but like, I don't understand it. I don't understand the advantage of all of this.
Yeah. You see, the thing is now, he knows, or he's a good idea that she's seen somebody else.
Yeah.
So if he has this conversation with her, he knows what the answer is going to be. It's going to be, I'm sorry, you know. I know someone with a bigger tractor than you.
Yeah, but then he has to make a choice. Then if he's out or if he's willing to carry on like that.
Yeah, I don't know how he'd feel about it.
Yeah. I don't think that if you're still exploring your options that you should be like saying it to each other like, you know, oh, yesterday I was out with Timmy from down the road and you know, he's a butcher and he's got greater prospects than you. But I like the look of your face, so I'll give you another go next Tuesday week. That's not how it goes on. It's like, it's kind of...
It's all underhand. That's my problem with
underhand.
It. It's all covert.
It's not. Well, it's
as opposed to being
respectfully
overt.
Respectfully kind of, you know...
It's not just having your cake and eating it.
Or whatever. It's not, you know, you're not making a holy show of yourself saying I was on two dates last week. You might tell your friends.
Yeah.
But as I said, some people are quite happy to work in that domain.
Yeah. Kind of, okay. I don't agree with that at all.
A few comments on this. A suitor is the name you're looking for.
A suitor?
Okay. Is that how he'd introduce her? This is my suitor.
That's from the 19th
yeah,
century, isn't
there
it?
There is, yeah. She's 100% seeing someone else. Sorry, says the texter. Okay. Call me old-fashioned, but your woman is obviously getting around. He should dump her and then go to the clinic for a checkup.
Oh,
okay,
oh,
thanks
God.
For that text.
That's a
judgment.
Bit of a leap there.
My advice is to say to her that whoever texts her is none of his business. And if there's anyone else she's seeing, that's up to her. But how do you feel about being exclusive, doing a steady line, having me as your significant other? Okay. She's entitled to see whoever she wants if they haven't made things exclusive yet. Maybe she will get rid of the other guy if they have the conversation. Someone else says it could be an ex who keeps texting her and she doesn't want him to know.
True, that's true.
Oh my God, they're like, you know, she has a stalker built in. Yeah. Might want to sign on for that. Yeah. Maybe he's completely overreacting and she's just private about other people seeing her messages.
I think that's most likely to be what it is.
And Laura says, why doesn't the person with the dilemma just ask the girlfriend out straight, is there anyone else? It's either yes or no. End of.
That's the same conversation.
It doesn't answer like when that should happen because I don't think it happens.
And none of our young audience have let us know.
They haven't.
We need to know that
because
no.
not
for
everything
future
is absolute.
Reference.
Young people are like not absolute things.
Having
they like
their
to
cake
make their own decisions.
Oh, they're so wishy washy.
It is. Yeah,
get off the fence, young people.
Making things much more complicated than they need to.
This is a gross one. So brace yourselves. I move. Moved into a new house at the start of the summer with two friends and a stranger. They'd all been living together the past year before a room became available for me to take. It's mainly been going great so far. The location is central, everyone is sound, and our different work schedules allow the perfect balance between socialising and time alone. The only issue is that the other guy, the stranger, is extremely messy. We've all become increasingly fed up with his inability to clean up after himself that we've resorted to making a cleaning roster where one person takes charge each week. His messiness has now been taken to the limit. After I discovered toenail clippings on the sitting room floor when I was cleaning last week. I know they're his because he's the only one dirty enough to do it. And my other housemates have their nails painted. I've pulled him up on it, but he denies it. I'm at my wit's end. What should I do?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, grim. Look, there's two things going on here. One is just the general thing of living with somebody and finding a way for the way you all live together in your house not to become an inconvenience to each other. And that's one thing. The other thing is where you decide, you take again somebody, as Marion Keyes would say. She seems to have taken again the stranger and has decided that the stranger is disgusting, dirty and has no end of all these horrible bad habits that will continue to cause
misery
and disgust
and feelings to our letter writer.
I think they need to separate the two things out.
Yes.
Like one, because often when people do stupid things in the privacy of their own rented accommodation, they might do so unthinkingly.
Yeah.
And they are open to be corrected and to learn to not repeat those said transgressions against their fellow renters as well. So I think maybe the fact that this was called out once might stop it happening again. If it happens again, it just needs to be called out. That's separate to the whole thing about tidying the house, because that has to be a culture that you have. No, not that kind of culture.
Culture growing under those nails. Yeah.
Oh God. A different kind, like the ethos of your home, your shared accommodation has to be right. We want to have certain minimum
standards
or whatever.
Yeah.
And those things, you know, it's a failure
like
against
no
that
toenails.
Means we're incompatible.
Yeah.
But then beyond that is, you know, the specific instances of something they need to be called on the go in the moment.
I actually totally agree with you. This hasn't happened for a long time. Totally agree with you. Yeah, I thought exactly the same things, two things. What's interesting is, though, that the issue of the general rules and regulations as to, and the fact that this letter writer says that the stranger fella is not great at tidying up after himself, and that they instigated then the roster.
Yeah.
We didn't hear whether that has improved the situation or not, whether that has worked or not. The second issue of the toenails, I agree with everything you said, actually. My one problem is that I think the letter writer didn't handle it perhaps in the most strategic way. In other words, she has decided that those nail clippings belong to the stranger, who, as you say, she seems to have taken against a bit. So I think she would have been much better off in issuing a general thing when they were all in the house together. I was on cleaning roster this week. Somebody's bloody toenails were in the sitting room. If that ever happens again, I'm going to completely lose it. So please, toenails cut only in the bathroom and dispose of clippings appropriately afterwards. I think the fact that she has decided, and she doesn't have proof except for the ropey nail polish thing, she doesn't have proof that it was definitely his. It probably was. But I think singling him out and directly confronting him, when you look at the bigger picture, mightn't have been the best way of doing it. I think issuing an edict to everybody that this is inappropriate, because as you said, he may have just gotten too comfortable and too lazy and forgotten to pick up his toenail.
Or maybe it wasn't him.
Or maybe it wasn't him.
And she's not taking his word, which is also not a good foundation for a trusting relationship as well. You know, he's saying, no, that wasn't me. Because it could actually have been somebody up in the bathroom, clipped their nail, and then it fell on the ground and gone on somebody's
foot. They forgot.
And, you know, there's loads of ways in which stupid things can happen. Once off, if it's repeatedly happening,
then
that's
a problem.
Somebody with
and I would suggest that if it happens again, and then you know what she did may have been enough to solve it, but I think she's made an enemy potentially of your man.
Absolutely,
which probably isn't a great idea when you're living together. But I mean, the next step then would be a list of do's and don'ts. Do you know what I mean? To go with their cleaning roster, just to be absolutely clear. But I think the mistake they made was in singling him out when she doesn't really, I feel like Judge Judy, she doesn't have any proof.
She doesn't know. And means motive of opportunity. Who's going to get to sit in the sitting room by themselves cleaning their toenails? Yeah. You know, that this person might be too busy to do that. Lads, my friend found something a lot worse.
Oh, don't tell.
From her housemate than his toenails. I'll spare you the details.
Thank you very
much. That is like the most hateful text that's ever been sent into this programme. Like, don't do that.
No, inspiring, that's fine.
And curiosity at the same time.
The whole point is to send us the details.
No, I don't want to know, thank you. No.
I do.
No, I don't. I'll be dreaming about it tonight.
Okay, well, you can dream about this instead, Barbara. I'm hoping you can solve my sex-related struggle. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 months. We've always had a very healthy sex life. I'd like to consider myself an open person when it comes to sex, but I now find myself questioning whether I'm a prude. My boyfriend has recently come to me with a new request. He wants to pee on me. I know this isn't anything out of the ordinary for some, and there's no kink shaming here, but I think it's just too much for me. I can't understand what would be sexy about me taking a golden shower. He's really into the idea, so I don't want to disappoint him. But the idea of it freaks me out. What should I do?
Okay. Okay, right. Okay. This isn't about whether this woman is a prude or not a prude.
No.
As we have said on a number of times here, a healthy and enjoyable sex life depends on honesty, on good communication, and on no one feeling they're being coerced is probably too strong a word, but being expected to do something that they are uncomfortable with or that they find a turn off or that they aren't, you know, they just don't like. So this woman isn't into golden showers, which is perfectly understandable and quite acceptable. However, I think the problem is that she needs to amend her attitude about not wanting to disappoint the boyfriend. Do you know, like, life is full of disappointments, do you know? He might like to be showered upon or share upon somebody else.
Perhaps.
She isn't. Yeah. And that's just it. And I think, you know, he'll have to get over that disappointment. And I think she's quite entitled to say, no, not for me, not doing that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But then I did think a little bit more and I thought, you know, I wonder you. I wonder if they could maybe in order to keep him a little bit happy, would there be some way that they could improvise a little bit, maybe with like water or champagne or something like that? Would he get the same, like, and try and make it, you know? No. Okay.
You
no,
mean like a water gun or something?
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that might help him to like feel a little bit if he, yeah.
No.
No. Okay. No. Okay. No. I just was trying to help.
Like, yeah. You know, like, Unless she ever gets bitten by a snake or something, I don't think there's going to be like
that. That's been disproved, hasn't it?
Well, there you go. Then he has no chance then. Yeah. That was his only
window. I
thought
it was for nettle stings it's good for.
And I thought it was for jellyfish.
Jellyfish, that's right.
So if it's the jellyfish...
That's what Sherwood taught me anyway. Scully, I think that's a jellyfish sting here. That's so jet. I can't believe I said that. I'm going home now.
No further comment.
Yeah. Okay, that's left us all speechless anyway.
Well, that was pretty much it. I think, like you said, like, you know, she either wants to leave the door partially open to this idea, or she wants to firmly shut it behind her.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all about consent and about understanding what people are willing to do. And his particular proclivities or persuasions or kinks or whatever are his.
Yeah.
And everybody has to live with a certain amount of compromise in relationships. And sometimes that includes not having the opportunity to exercise some of these things. I think, you know. So, yeah. But if you ask you to go for a moonlight walk on a beach.
Yeah. You know, full of jellyfish.
You'll know where he's going. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Going back to the fella and, you know, he's the dating and is she seeing somebody else? Somebody's texting him to say, honesty is the best policy. Years ago, a girl said to me that she'd love to have a relationship with me, but she wanted me to know that she was in a relationship with a married man of high society.
This
is like something out of Bridgerton.
This is great,
That she wanted to keep seeing as he looked after her very well.
Oh, right.
I decided not to be the bit on the side of the bit on the side. This was abroad, by the way, so the married man is no one that you'd know.
Oh, that's a pity. Then I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I was wondering who the married man was.
Yeah, but I see they're just saying there was somebody
abroad. They're just trying to put us off the scent.
That golden shower lad has been watching too much online, says the texter.
Do you reckon? Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's...
You see, it could be like, where do you do it for, you know, do you have to go and get rubber sheeting? And
in
like,
the bath.
Yeah, so then...
Down the wet room, yeah.
Yeah.
Presume.
If they don't have one, right, maybe that's not his, you know, whole thing. The scenario wasn't going into a bathroom to do it. Ugh.
You wouldn't be doing it in the bed, surely.
No, you couldn't do it in the bed.
I mean, I'm not... Sometimes knowing things doesn't mean you've got personal experience. Okay.
Okay.
I do believe.
That's okay. You're among friends here.
I'm a man of the world. I read books. I've been on the dark web twice. That you can actually get rubber sheets and stuff like that that people just see.
Yeah, but rubber sheets would all just run off and onto the floor. Or, and then you'd get on the carpet. Yeah.
I think the rubber sheets
you'd
have
ruin
like,
the carpet, or if you've got, I don't know, how does pee
react? A bit of lino. There's a bit of lino for the
No, if you had like a wooden floor and it was upstairs, poured it down in between. Then you get like pea stain cracks in the.
You'd never sell the house.
Yeah, you'd have
to never sell it. Yeah.
Says.
What's that mark there? What's a pea stain? How did that happen?
Please tell me if I'm overreacting. I've been going out with my girlfriend for almost a year and things have been going smoothly so far. We get on really well and it's the first time I've seen a relationship going the distance. I met her parents earlier on, but her older brother was living in Australia up until recently. So I was waiting to meet him. He moved home last month, so we've been seeing a lot of him since. My girlfriend has always talked a lot about him, so I know they were close. But nothing could prepare me for how close they actually are. They're very comfortable with each other, so much so that they kiss each other on the lips when saying hello and goodbye. Am I wrong to find this incredibly weird? We're all in our mid-30s, which seems like an inappropriate age to carry on a tradition like this. I understand when it's children doing it, but is it an okay behaviour for adults?
I thought about this and my short answer is no. It's a bit weird. I think it's weird. I don't like...
You've been a man of the world and haven't been on the dark web at all.
Personally, that's because I was going to be all like, you know, everybody do their own thing. Yeah. But actually, I think it's weird. Like, I actually don't... I have one friend who, when they say hello to me, they kind of kiss me very close to my mouth and I always feel a bit like, ooh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It gives me a bit, it gives me personally a bit of the boundary ick that feels like.
Yeah.
And so I also think that if I saw somebody else doing that to somebody I was into, intimate with, I'd be a bit like,
back off, buddy.
Yeah, I get you.
Didn't David Beckham get criticised for doing this with his daughter, Seven or whatever she's called?
Harper.
Seven of Nine
Harper,
or whatever.
Seven. Yeah. Harper, yeah. Seven. Yeah, didn't he? He was photographed kissing her on the lips a few times.
How
yeah.
old is she, though?
She was only a little girl. That was wrong.
She wasn't like a baby.
No.
But yeah, he got criticised
for that. I've seen someone I know, like grown man, maybe in his 40s, kissing his mother on the lips.
Yeah,
that gave me
a
serious ick.
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely be the same. I'd love to be all. Now, having said that, if everything else in the relation, I'm wondering if this family Irish, because we're so kind of, you know, kind of rigid about our everything.
People are very, that's just their, you know, their emotional type.
But I wonder, is it a cultural thing, maybe? I know they were living in Australia. No, it was only the brothers living in Australia. Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's something.
They wouldn't like it in Australia either.
No, God, he'd have been deported if they'd known that.
Oh, God, yeah, no, yeah.
No.
I
think it's a bit icky. But do you think she should just turn a blind eye to it if everything else works in the relationship?
I think it's a bit, it might be like a family culture. It might be something they're comfortable with and they have never even noticed.
But it's funny.
And I think that if he says something to her about it.
But I wonder, does she kiss anybody else in her family on the lips, or is it just the brother? Because that's a bit strange then.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. Someone says, yeah, that's what I thought too. The French love kissing on the face, but that's either side. That's not like a big smacker.
No.
Yeah, I think coming at you, no, that'd be a bit much for me.
But if it's just the thing to do, there's not much they can do about it. They can't, you know, go stop kissing your brother.
I mean, she could, he could say to the girlfriend, like,
I think it's in the Bible, isn't it? To say, stop kissing your brother.
Sure. Or if she quote the Bible.
Check the Bible and see if it says that in the bed.
But I mean, they've been going out for a year. I think he could suggest maybe to the girlfriend that he's a bit uncomfortable about that. And could she, you know, give the brother a kiss at the cheek and a hug rather than kissing him on the lips? Is that not okay to say?
But she might say, I've been kissing my brother on the lips since long before I met you.
Yeah, but you can just say, it just makes me a bit weird. Feel a bit weird.
Yeah.
But I do think in general conversation, if that came up as a conversation, that most people would be on the side of thinking it's a bit weird. So I think that...
Yeah.
I think it's more...
Because they must be aware of the fact that it's unusual.
They must be.
They haven't noticed.
That's asking oblivious. Them where they may be foreign, because it might be a cultural thing that wherever they grew up, this was just... Do you know, different cultures do different things.
In incest land. where they grew up. going back to about the question we got on about the peeing question and like where would such a thing take place? Someone's helpfully texted in to say hospitals and nursing homes have rubber sheets, so I assume you can buy them.
I knew they were there.
Boom. Geriatric action. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. Moncrief on News Talk.